decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. This is Squirrel Chatter, a show where basically we read the Bible and talk about what it says and then talk about anything that's on my mind. Glad to have you with us here this morning. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. New podcasts are getting added all the time. I keep getting emails, hey, check out this new podcast we're thinking about adding to the network. And sometimes I have time to do it, sometimes I don't. But the ones that I've listened to have been sounding pretty good. So if you're looking for something to stick in your earbuds, head on over to the ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out what's available. You're sure to find something that's going to be edifying and entertaining and doctrinally sound. Everything is doctrinally sound. We have a fairly strict and well-policed doctrinal statement regarding the positions that you are not allowed to take as a member of the Christian Podcast Community. Heresy has been outlawed. Well, we are reading through the scriptures in the Legacy Standard Bible. We're going to make our way through the entire Bible this year. We're halfway through week two of our Bible reading plan, as we're still in the first half of January of 2022. Today is Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. If you were wondering what the date was, if you're just waking up, haven't looked at your calendar, haven't done anything, but maybe look longingly at your coffee pot as you're waiting for it to finish brewing. But I hope you have coffee. I hope you have your Bible with you. And our scripture today is going to be Genesis 21 through 23, Psalm 107, and Mark chapter 8. Well, let's begin then with our prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy Word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapters 21 through 23. Chapter 21. Now Yahweh visited Sarah as he had said, and Yahweh did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing in jest. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maidservant and her son. The son of this maidservant shall not be an heir with my son, with Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. So God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and your maidservant. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice, for through Isaac your seed shall be named. And of the son of your maidservant I will make a nation also, because he is your seed." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the child and sent her away. So she went and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was finished, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, "Do not let me see when the child dies." And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. Then God heard the voice of the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Arise, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew. And he lived in the wilderness and was an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now it happened at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, "God is with you in all that you do. So now swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity. But according to the loving kindness that I have shown you, you shall show me and the land in which you have sojourned." And Abraham said, "I swear it." But Abraham reproved Abimelech about the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said to him, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor did I hear of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them cut a covenant. Then Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What do these 7 ewe lambs mean, which you have set by themselves?" And he said, "You shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, so that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well." Therefore he called this place Beersheba, because there the two of them swore an oath. So they cut a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of Yahweh, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. Chapter 22. Now it happened after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Now take your son, your only one, whom you love, Isaac, and go forth to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship and we will return to you." Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and put him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the boy, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only one, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there was a ram after it had been caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the place, called the name of that place, Yahweh will provide. As it is said this day, in the mount of Yahweh it will be provided. Then the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you have done this thing and not spared your son, your only one, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have listened to my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and walked together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now it happened after these things that there was told to Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Uz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Hesed, and Hazo, and Phildesh, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel was the father of Rebekah, whose these eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Reumah, also bore Teba, and Gaham, and Tahash, and Maacah. Chapter 23. And Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a sojourner and a foreign resident among you. Give me a possession for a burial site among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial sites. None of us will refuse you his burial site for burying your dead. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it is your desire for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron the son of Zohar for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which belongs to him, which is at the end of his field. For the full price let him give it to me in your presence as a possession for a burial site. Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even of all who went in at the gate of the city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people I give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed before him. Abraham bowed before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will only please hear me, I will give the silver for the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Then Ephron answered Abram, saying to him, My lord, hear me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you, me and you? So bury your dead. So Abraham heard Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field, they were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham as purchased in the sight of the sons of Heth, before all who came in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a possession for a burial site by the sons of Heth. Psalm 107. O give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness along the way of the wasteland. They did not find an inhabited city. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. There were those who inhabited darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and irons, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he subdued their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. For he has shattered the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. Ignorant fools, because of their way of transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they reached the gates of death. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and provided them escape from their destructions. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness, and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and recount his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on many waters, they have seen the works of Yahweh and his wondrous deeds in the deep. He spoke and set up a stormy wind, which raised up the waves of the sea. They went up to the heavens, and they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in the calamity. They staggered and swayed like a drunken man, and all their wisdom was swallowed up. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to stand still, so that its waves were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he led them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness, and for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. He makes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the evil of those who inhabited it. He makes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water, and there he causes the hungry to inhabit, so that they may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and produce a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. But when they decrease and are bowed down through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon nobles and makes them wander in a pathless void. But he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction, and makes his family like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him keep these things and carefully consider the loving kindnesses of Yahweh. Mark chapter 8. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the crowd because they have remained with me for now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered him, Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them. And he kept giving them to his disciples to serve to them. and they served them to the crowd, and they also had a few small fish. And after he blessed them, he ordered these be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. Now about 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. And immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. And sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up?" They said to him, 12. "When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and pleaded with him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he was saying to him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and was saying, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he was asking his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Excuse me. Clear my throat. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now our collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, Defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I just wanted to say a couple of words about interacting on social media. I am on, I think, just about every social media platform, at least all the big ones. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Gab, I'm on Gitter, I'm on Clout Hub, and I'm on MeWe, and I'm on Parler. And mostly I'm posting the same things at each of these. But as I scroll through my feed, especially on Facebook and Twitter, mostly on Facebook, the people that I'm friends with on Facebook are people I actually know. And I went to a liberal arts college. And so I have friends that are not of my political persuasion. I also have friends that are not of my religious beliefs. And they're still friends. They're people that I know and I interact with. But as I scroll through my newsfeed, I often come upon posts made by friends of differing opinions, posts with which I disagree. And do you know what I do? I keep scrolling. Social media is certainly not a place to hash these things out. You know, say what you're going to say. That's fine. It's your page. Now, when I post something of a political or religious nature and someone responds to it on my page, I will respond to that because it's on my page. But even there, I draw the line. Well, yesterday I posted a meme and the subject doesn't matter. I didn't even think it was all that really charged up. Now, Facebook posted a fact check on it, which amuses me. All get out. And from the responses that were, the comments that were left, the vast majority of my friends think that Facebook's fact checks are a bigger joke than the original meme, which is kind of my opinion on it as well. I find it amusing. But on another platform, I had posted the same meme, like I said, on most of the platforms that I'm on. On one of the platforms, I woke up this morning to find long dissertations left by somebody I don't know who doesn't even follow me. So you wonder, how did they even get, you know, how did it get, how did they decide to respond to it? How did it, now, my meme had been shared by other people, so it could be somebody who's a friend of somebody else or somebody who who follows somebody else. But they had left several long dissertations about why I was wrong and why the meme was in error, et cetera, et cetera. Just got a notice this morning that the Superior School District buses are going to be running 10 to 15 minutes late. That just came up. So if you're here in the Piney Woods and your buses are running 10 to 15 minutes late, apparently we got quite a bit of freezing rain last night. And I understand that there are some schools in the area, Plains, Thompson Falls, that are running 2 hours late. But Superior's buses are running about 10 to 15 minutes late. And school will be on time, but of course, if you're on a late bus, you will not be counted as tardy. Probably won't count anybody as tardy if you're coming in and the roads are icy. They're good about that. We understand where we live and the weather that we have to deal with. So anyway, woke up this morning, long, long dissertations, all in caps. So I had some brief interaction with the person and decided that, you know, it really wasn't worth it. And so I blocked them. Like I said, this is somebody I don't know, somebody who, you know, I mean, why come on the Facebook or Gab in this instance? Why come on to an account of somebody you don't know, you have no relationship with, and leave, you know, long screeds? Why do you think that's going to be influential? Why do you think that's a good thing to do? Why do you think that's neighborly? Why do you think that's your right? Well, I mean, he has the right to type whatever he wants. And so I just blocked him. I'm not going to deal with it. I don't need to deal with it. The way that he was writing, it was pretty clear that this was not somebody who was going to be reasonable. Somebody with whom I could have a discussion. This was somebody who was just going to launch with their invectives. And I don't have the time or inclination to deal with that today. So I blocked them. And then I posted that I love blocking, or I love the smell of blocking unreasonable and annoying people in the morning. Smells like victory. So if you ever watched Apocalypse Now, you will get the reference. But so just talking about interacting on social media. First off, never say something to somebody on social media that you wouldn't say to them in person. Never say something on social media to somebody that's intentionally hurtful, that's intentionally insulting. Don't demean people. If you disagree with people, that's fine. Disagree with people. Scroll by. Not every disagreement has to be answered. And not every disagreement needs to be voiced, especially if it's somebody you don't know. And people aren't going to listen to you anyway if you don't have some sort of relationship with them. Montana, for some strange reason, for such a conservative state, we have one of the most liberal senators in Washington, Senator John Tester. Well, I emailed him about a piece of legislation several years ago, just to express, you know, hey, you're my senator. This is my opinion on this matter. I don't want you to vote for it. I want you to vote against it. This is why. Happened to be a piece of legislation he was a co-sponsor of, which was amusing. And, you know, I got back a form letter that basically said, you know, thank you for your input. Yeah. The senator carefully considers all these opinions, right? And it was written in such a way that indicated that they had absolutely not read it and didn't care what it said. And then I got on his email list. As a political opponent, I'm constantly getting these, hey, thanks for your support emails. And it just cracks me up. But social media is a lot the same way. They're not going to listen to you. Why bother? And when somebody pops up on my newsfeed doing stuff like that, like this gentleman this morning, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not even going to bother with him. And so I told him goodbye. So that is my philosophy. There is a big difference. And you can tell the difference right off. There's a big difference between questions from somebody who is trying to understand where you're coming from and questions from somebody who disagrees with you and is looking for a fight. And you can tell the difference. The first questions I will answer. I will spend a lot of time giving answers to someone who genuinely is seeking to understand my position. I'm not going to waste any time on somebody who's just looking for an argument. I'm not running the Monty Python argument clinic. I'm not here to give people arguments for their amusement. I have better things to do. So that's just a little bit of my social media philosophy. And to remind you, I am on all of these social media platforms. Love to interact. I have people I interact with that I love interacting with. And not all of whom who agree with me, but there are people who will disagree agreeably and who, you know, don't take offense at the fact that we have opposite opinions. And I have other people who have unfriended and blocked me because of my opinions. And interestingly enough, this is not a case of me going to their Facebook page or their Twitter account and disagreeing with them there. I've had people who are genuine friends and acquaintances of many, many years, even some relatives, who came onto my Facebook page to disagree with something I had posted. And when I defended my position, they blocked me. Which, you know, that's fine too. Freedom of association. You don't have to listen to everybody. You don't have to hang out with everybody. Matter of fact, it's probably a good thing if you don't hang out with everybody. Well, it is Wednesday today, which means I've got youth group tonight. Tomorrow is Theology Thursday, where we will be looking at paragraph 2 of chapter 2 of the 1689. I expect tomorrow is going to be another long episode of Squirrel Chatter. Like I said, the scripture portion is much longer than when we were reading just through the New Testament. So it's reading through the whole Bible. We've got quite a bit of scripture reading and dealing with a doctrinal topic like the Theology Thursdays going through the 1689 takes some time. So tomorrow's going to be another long episode, I would predict. We'll just have to wait and see. I kind of do the Theology Thursdays with minimum notes. I go through, I read the paragraph that we're going to be talking about. I gather in all of the scriptural proofs, and I make just a couple of bullet points of things that I want to hit on, but I still end up going long because I'll talk because that's what I do. I'm a talker. All right, folks, thanks for being with us here on Wednesday. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Have a great day. We'll see you again here tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.